At the Episcopal Church USA's convention in Minneapolis today, some conservative delegates walked off the floor in protest of the election of the church's first openly gay bishop. The Reverend Canon Gene Robinson was confirmed last night as the bishop of the New Hampshire diocese. Bishop-elect Robinson is 56, formerly married, a father of two grown girls. He's been with his partner, Mark Andrew, for 14 years. He's lived in New Hampshire since 1975. Canon Robinson calls last night's vote a thrilling and humbling moment.
I and my family were all gathered in a secure room, and we were watching on a television monitor. I had not been present in the House of Bishops Gallery when the decision was being made, but we were watching when the results were read, and it was a really awesome thing. And so I don't suspect any bishop ever feels up to the task, but I will try to be the best bishop I can be with God's help.
At the same time, this confirmation came after such turmoil and deep division. I imagine it was also a moment of some degree of pain and soul-searching, I would think.
Yes, of course, and certainly a sense of relief that we had resolved the issues that had come up literally at the 11th hour. The process would have been difficult and strenuous given all of the issues anyway, but with the issues raised then the last day, it became a very painful thing for me and my family, and fortunately we were able to resolve those issues.
Can you describe just a bit about how that was for you and your family? I understand your longtime partner, Mark Andrew, was with you, and one of your daughters, Ella. What did they tell you? How did you get through that?
Well, they were wonderful. I certainly had their support all the way through. And of course, I knew that the allegations were not true, so that made it especially poignant. When the initial charge was made by the gentleman in Vermont, it sounded like a much more serious charge. It used the word harassment. It talked about inappropriate touching. But when we investigated that and asked the gentleman more about it, what it was is that he had felt somewhat uncomfortable when I had touched his forearm and touched his shoulder when answering a question. This was at a conference with about 200 or 300 people. So we were able to investigate that. And actually, you know, it was a very good day for the Episcopal Church because we have policies and procedures for dealing with these accusations. And indeed, I helped write those policies over a decade ago. So it was very gratifying, although I was the person involved in these charges, it was also very gratifying to know that the procedures that we have set up to make our churches safe places really does work.
Did you consider these allegations of sexual misconduct part of a campaign to derail your confirmation?
I certainly think the timing of this is at least odd and curious, if not suspicious. But I have no need or desire to track that down any further. I think the website accusation that, you know, I was associated with a group that had a connection, sent people, young people, to a pornographic website, that was something that could have easily been cleared up. And I'm a bit dismayed that two bishops brought that accusation forward when it was so easily proven otherwise.
Right after the vote was announced, confirming you as bishop-elect for New Hampshire, a group of conservative bishops came out right away, and the bishop of Pittsburgh, Robert Duncan, read a statement saying they felt grief too deep for words. He called this a pastoral emergency for the Episcopal Church. Does the depth of feeling around this issue surprise you, and what do you say to those opponents who are so deeply opposed?
It is a serious issue that we're dealing with here, but you know, the Episcopal Church has dealt with these issues before, and we've dealt with divisive issues in the Anglican Communion before. Not too long ago, we were the first in the Anglican Communion to ordain women, first to the priesthood and then to the episcopate, but we've not come apart over that, despite the fact that the vast majority of the Anglican Communion still does not admit women to the priesthood and the episcopate. So while I believe what people are saying about how important and central this is, I don't believe it rises to the level of our being divided over it. We've not been divided over these other issues. I see no reason why we would hold this one issue above our common faith in Jesus Christ, which is where we actually find our unity.
But this does seem to be touching a nerve, maybe hitting harder than the ordination of women did. I was reading a statement from the Archbishop of Sydney in Australia, Peter Jensen, who said that you are living in breach of the Bible and would not be welcome in his diocese. What do you say to him and to the sentiments like that?
Well, I wouldn't be welcome in his diocese as a priest, never mind as a bishop, and I cannot go to his diocese and function there without his permission. So we should also point out that his boss, that is the primate of all of Australia, the Anglican Church of Australia, quite disagrees with him on this and has expressed support for my election and consecration and has said that this is not a church-dividing issue.
Looking forward, you are the bishop-elect for what I understand are some 12,000 parishioners in New Hampshire.
Actually, it's about 15,000.
15,000. Yes. Mm-hmm. People are talking about you now sort of being the focus for a possible schism in the Episcopal Church and in the worldwide Anglican Communion. I imagine that's a very strange place for you to be right now.
Well, it's a very strange and odd place to be, but I must say I'm carrying a lot on my shoulders as it is, and I'm just not willing to carry the full responsibility for the future of the Anglican Communion on my shoulders. I want these folks, these very conservative folks, both in the Episcopal Church here in this country and overseas in the Anglican Communion, I want them as a part of my church. I don't want them to leave. I don't ask them to leave. I'm certainly not making them leave. And if they choose to do so, it will be because they have chosen to leave, not because anyone has made them.
I suppose part of this process is getting people to see you not as the openly gay bishop-elect of New Hampshire, but as Gene Robinson.
Exactly. I can't wait for the gay part to be over so that I can just be the Bishop of New Hampshire. The people of the diocese have called me not to put forward an agenda, but because they have known me for 28 years and believe that I have the skills and gifts for ministry that they need in a leader for this next period of time. And I can hardly wait to get home to the parishes and people of the Diocese of New Hampshire and be that good bishop. I don't want to be the gay bishop. I want to be a good bishop, and I can do more to help gay and lesbian folk in the church that way than by talking about it all the time.
I wonder, is there a part of Scripture that's been particularly meaningful for you during this process?
Well, during the last few days, I can tell you that Psalm 27 has been very important to me. It talks about, you know, when people gather around you to eat up your flesh and want to do you in, and I, God, will set you high upon a rock and keep you safe and shelter you from the storm. And then it sort of concludes with, let me, Lord, sing your song no matter what comes my way. And that's exactly what I've been trying to do here in Minneapolis.
Well, Canon Robinson, thanks for joining us.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Reverend Canon Gene Robinson is the Bishop-elect of the Episcopal Diocese of New Hampshire.